Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Will your team have a draft to remember?
With the 75th pick, the Seattle Seahawks select Russell Wilson, quarterback, Wisconsin.
Or crap out.
With the third pick, the San Francisco 49ers select Trey Lance, quarterback, North Dakota State.
This is Primetime on Draft Week.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Celebrating 35 years of fitness with a party on Tuesday, April 30th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Aloha, Beaverton, Division Center, and Vancouver Plaza.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080.
What a moment.
The Fan.
All right, thanks for tuning in. We've got Andrew Nimick in with us today. We'll get back to draft coverage here in a bit. But there's been a lot going on down in Corvallis, to say the least, the last couple of years.
I would say so.
Joining us now on The Fan is Oregon State Athletic Director Scott Barnes. Can you hear us, Scott?
I can. It's great to be with you guys today.
Well, it's good to have you. Appreciate your time. There's a lingering question in my head that doesn't pertain to anything anymore, but I wanted to ask you if I ever got the opportunity to talk to you. I want to go all the way back. And Texas and Oklahoma first shocked everyone leaving for the SEC. My question to you, in hindsight, how realistic is it to think that someone or anyone could have or should have seen the UCLA-USC defection coming?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question, one that conference commissioners have pondered. Let me say this about it. When we're put in leadership positions, whether you're a conference commissioner or an athletic director or others, you know, having a pulse and an understanding of the feelings that your membership has, the leadership, particularly of your membership, knowing where they sit on a given day, where their mindset is, and a lot of times you've got to pry that open. And I'm just going to tell you, but it's incumbent upon a leader to have that information and to read the room. You know, it as clandestine as that scenario was, it's hard. That's hard to get to. But, you know, could more touches, more frequent touches, stronger relationships, more communication unveiled some of that? The answer is yes.
I think what happened to you in Washington State is awful. I don't point the finger at either of those, your school or theirs. So I want to get that out there. But looking back on it, is there anything you wish you would have done differently? Or was when UCLA and USC, when they left, was the writing on the wall and it was something that you guys weren't going to be able to recover from?
No, not at all. We had a plan, and that plan went to the last hour with a new TV, television deal that, over the course of a couple of days, everybody seemed to warm up to and was very close to jumping on board. Even after Colorado announced, we had a replacement that was every bit as solid as that, and 10 schools and ready to go. And in the last hours, that fell apart with some pressure from different areas. So keeping the Pac-12 together was our best option, and certainly thought till the end there that could be done, as many of the other schools thought. But it unraveled very quickly. Here we are now. We look forward. We look at a fan base that is super supportive. We had our damn proud day yesterday, guys. We had this, our day of giving. 4,247 donors gave a gift equaling almost $900,000, blowing out last year's total by 60%. I only say that because as you think about attendance, you think about support, and you think about passion, it has never been greater than right now from Beaver Nation, and we're thankful that for that as we navigate forward.
Yes, we've talked a lot about it, obviously, here over the last handful of months, and you know, we get a couple of different feelings. We get a lot of fans who are very demoralized, and rightly so, can understand that. But you also get a lot of feedback that everybody's galvanized.
Circle the wagons.
Down there. So I guess the question regarding that is, how do you keep, if you have some galvanization there, it sounds like you do from yesterday, how do you keep fans engaged moving forward?
Yeah, no, it's an excellent question. And, you know, inviting them to show up and thanking them through the process, giving them as much information as we can. And that's a challenge, right? Because much of what we're doing is sort of in clandestine fashion, if you will. Like things like media rights, conference realignment, those aren't talked about publicly because they can be damaging if you do. So we continue to work and touch and use every avenue we can to communicate. And yeah, we're, you know, there's a lot of frustration, including from myself, right? And so how do you channel that into the next step forward in a positive way? And let me tell you, when you look at attendance at football, which was sold out every game, and even standing room only was sold out most of the games, you look at tracking the same for next year, you look at breaking attendance records in men and women's basketball, wrestling and gymnastics, and soccer, it's happening. And so that doesn't mean that it's all rainbows and ponies. It's not. But they love our fight. They love the fact that we're not pulling punches, and we'll continue to operate that way, and they're behind us in that regard.
Is it an overstatement on my part to say that in 2 years, if you guys don't find a way to end up in the ACC or the Big 12, that it changes Beaver athletics forever?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things there. One is this landscape is so dynamic right now. What we even think of the Big 12 or the ACC or college football could be entirely different. So those are not the only options as you think about what's being considered out there and from multiple places. So our focus is to do what we're doing, and that's position ourselves as what we are, a Power 5, call it Power 4 now, institution, funding ourselves at that level while positioning ourselves while we look for those opportunities. How long will that take? Not sure. What will it ultimately look like? Nobody knows, but what we can be certain of is there is incredible movement and changes occurring. We believe those changes, that movement, create opportunity for us and for 550 student-athletes as we think about our future.
This is Oregon State Athletic Director Scott Barnes. This is going to be a strange question, but this guy's name has come up multiple times in some of our conversations here with just fans wondering. The NVIDIA guy, Jensen Huang, I think is his name. He is a billionaire. He is an Oregon State alum. What is his level of interest or involvement in athletics down there? Can you answer that?
Yeah, you know, he has done he and his wife, remarkable things for us in engineering. That is his, IT is his love. That's where that's at. But let me just say this. We have an unbelievable list of highly successful alumni that have stepped up. We got research done by raising over $100 million in cash. And those folks have not gone away. They've doubled down and are there to support us and finding new, cultivating, stronger relationships with folks that are, alums is critical. We're doing it every single day. So rather than specifying any individual, let me just tell you that there are a lot of folks out there that either have contributed, will contribute, or we're cultivating to do so.
Is that right now in the college world, is that the top priority? Is NIL and just it feels like it's an arm race, and if you don't have the money, is that the most important thing right now in the world of college football or college sports in general?
NIL, not for every sport. Certainly for the flagship sports, it's if you were to ask our coaches, they would tell you that it is the most important thing right now. And so our relevance in that space, we've never competed with Alabama for revenue in the history of our, and nor will we, nor need do we need to. But we have to be relevant in the space, and we're working every day to do that. And because of that, our strategy changes in how we think about philanthropy. Instead of, you know, $350 million of master plan facilities, which we have, instead of that next, you know, $50 or $100 million facility, we're focusing, turning back towards current use gifts that can help us operate. And part of that being NIL that can go to the collective to support that. And that's the pie is only so big. We all have that same challenge, and we're working on that every single day. But that's what's changed, in terms of our focus.
How do you reconcile, or at least what do you tell Beaver Nation? Because you guys have done an amazing job over the years with your athletic programs. One of the best baseball teams in the country, a football team that went from very poor to a consistent top 25 team, a women's basketball team that is truly one of the elite programs, a men's team that a couple years ago was in the Elite Eight. And yet you look at it and football coach leaves, roster gets gutted. The women's basketball team, it pains me to say that most of the returning big names on the men's basketball team have gone. You know, and then of course there's the fear of, you know, does Ruick follow if you can't keep a team together? What do you say to Beaver Nation when they look at this and say this isn't a house of cards, this isn't tumbling, brighter days are ahead? What do you say to those fans that have become disenfranchised that say, hey, I give and give and give and I put all my support and we built these things and it doesn't matter because we keep having people leave?
Yeah, a couple thoughts, and really appreciate the question. It's one that is front and center for us. First of all, you know, Beaver Nation is telling us a lot, and they're telling us by setting records in fundraising, by setting records in attendance. They're, you know, you can talk about defection. We haven't had any coaches defect except football, none. What we talk about is investing at the current level. And oh, by the way, let's remember that what's happening in the transfer portal fueled by NIL. It's happening across the country. And what it doesn't matter if you're a rebuild program or a Final Four program, it's happening across the board. And so where is that market correction going to occur? When is it going to occur? And how do we deal with that? Because college athletics has changed, and we're a symptom of a much bigger problem. And you can go to any program in the country having the same issues and trying to deal with the same issues. So let's be relevant in the space. Let's lean in on the culture that we've built, the excellent coaches that we have. Again, I'll double down. No one's left except football. And we replaced that football coach with one hell of a leader that has won the portal, that has ultimately crushed it in terms of people in compared to people out. So let's lean into the successes that you have all shared that we've had, and let's continue to invest the Power Five level, and we will do everything in our power to pry doors open and create the right strategy to be back in the mix at that Power Five level.
Oregon State AD Scott Barnes with us here. So if we get pay for play in the revenue generating sports, what happens to the non-revenue generating sports?
Yeah, look, let me start with this. When you talk about pay for play, the reclassification of a student athlete as an employee, it's built on a false premise, and the premise is this. The premise is that at Oregon State University and anywhere else except for maybe a small handful, we are operating a multimillion dollar enterprise that's making money hand over fist. Let me ask the question, what business enterprise purposely builds 20 to 30 subsidiary organizations that lose money and are supported by one or two. That is not a business enterprise model. That is a higher ed model. So as we think about revenue share with our student athletes, we think about reclassification, pay for play, let's level set on the premise, because the premise is wrong. What would happen? I think it would be devastating. I think that if we move to a reclassification, as you said, pay for play model, there's a lot that happens. Olympic sports will suffer, and the Olympic program, because 75% of Olympians come from our college campuses. You will have 500,000 scholarships that are provided in the current NCAA structure dissipate to much, much fewer than that. In the process, you will relegate Olympic sports programs on our campuses to club sports and intramurals. And going down that path would be devastating. And I'm concerned about where it sits right now.
What do you think might be a reasonable timeline for openings in or realignment regarding the ACC?
How about tomorrow?
Yeah, how about it?
I mean, there's lawsuits.
It's such a crystal ball question that's certainly critical, one that we think about every day in terms of the timing, our staying power at the Power Five level, our investment, steady investment that we'll continue to make. The sooner the better. But I think that there's so much turmoil, chaos, and dynamics in the marketplace that things could happen pretty rapidly. And it's not necessarily the implosion of the ACC or the Big 12 or a merge. It's all the above, the merge, the idea that that perhaps 70 football schools could play and aggregate their assets in some form that could be better than even what folks are getting now, and have the Olympic sports at a more regional level. These are concepts that have been talked about for years. The Knight Commission shared that concept in 2020. But what's different? What's different is right now there is enough movement, as I've suggested, and traction on a lot of this that it could come to fruition in any form, and we're ready for that. And that's, you asked me what I tell our Beaver Nation. Hang in there, because we're positioned to be involved in that, in whatever opportunity comes there.
How much do you have to pay attention to the lawsuits, whether it's the USC union lawsuit, the back pay for NIL? I mean, some of these things coming down the pipe, I mean, people are saying could be, we're talking $3 to $4 billion in damages. Do you, obviously, I know you're constantly talking about realignment and where this goes, but do you pay any attention to the legal matters as well?
Yeah, you have to. And we have our on campus, our Office of General Counsel, and we have other attorneys that have helped us not only navigate the Pac-12 issue, but also those legal issues and what they could ultimately cost and what the timing is on that, because that helps inform what our investment looks like and where we go. So absolutely not in it every day, making sure our attorneys are and informing us as we think about the future, but being ready for it and not being surprised by it.
Scott Barnes, Oregon State AD. I have one other question, and we appreciate your extended time here and talking to us. But how much did you want to flip the bird to Oregon and not retain that rivalry? Because I can see both sides of playing that and not playing that.
Yeah, and what's interesting, thank you for the question. What's interesting about that, and you saw our fan base just sound off about, well, we're not playing Oregon, we're not doing this, we're not doing that. At the end of the day, let's clear the decks on emotions and let's look at our student athlete. I can promise you, there's not one student athlete on our roster that doesn't want to make that, to have that opportunity. Not one. And oh, by the way, we'll have that sold out in a heartbeat, and our fans will be there. So So what we're dealing with is punch in the gut, and there's emotions there. There's a pride factor. But the reality is, to put our student athletes in the best position they can be in, playing regionally, playing rivalry games, is all part of that mix. And that's how you have to look at it.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, really appreciate your time for us today here. Thank you, Scott Barnes, Oregon State AD. Appreciate it.
Go Beavs. Thank you.
See ya. How about that?
Okay. Look, I mean, it's all you can do at this point is, you know, stay positive. And I think a lot of what he said, I agree with. I think some of the stuff is a little.
He lost me in one area.
Well, there was certainly a Mr. Sunshine. But what are you supposed to say?
Well, no. Let's come back and talk about it. We'll do Scott Barnes postgame coming up next.
There you go.
Because there was one thing where I'm just like, man, I don't get this attitude. So, but otherwise, very.
I thought he was honest.
Yeah. Very. Yep. About what I expected, but good interview.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to the Scott Barnes postgame and then in the news coming up here on The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
I have hatchery news coming up next on ITN, and then we'll get back to our NFL draft coverage. Andrew Nemec is here with us today to cover the draft. And, I was watching his face. I'm staring right at him. And I was watching his face for many of the Scott Barnes answers of that interview. And, and the feedback is mixed, if not mostly negative. But I also would defend Scott Barnes in one way and say at this point, he doesn't have a lot of answers. I don't know what else you want him to say, right? It's like, I get that Beaver Nation is frustrated and pissed off, and that's all fair. Like, we started talking about that at the start of the interview, and he basically said, yeah, we probably should have seen USC and UCLA leaving coming if we had better relationships and we were paying closer attention. And then after that, well, how didn't you see Oregon and Washington leaving?
And it sounds like it was more along the lines of they believed that they could hold it together.
There's
two lines of thinking on that. And I tend to disagree with him. There seems to be the line that mostly Washington State and Oregon State will tell you that came down to the very end and they thought they were going to hold it together. I think.
They think that? Like, I feel like that's a kind of naive.
To me, that is naive. But if you talk to people, and I have talked to enough people affiliated with both of those schools, that I truly believe that they thought that they could get this done, that they could get this streaming deal done. And everyone that they thought Colorado was going to leave and that they were going to be able to hold it together. And me personally, I think that's naive.
Did they put too much faith? It sounds like reading between the lines, they put too much faith in George Kliavkov. That's the guy that convinced them, hey, sit tight, we're going to get this done.
Yeah.
And
I think they put too much belief in the idea that the Pac-12 can't die, that a school like Oregon or Washington wasn't willing to deliver the death blow, and the fact that the Big Ten wasn't super keen on expanding. Remember, Washington and Oregon did not get big shares coming from the Big Ten. The Big Ten was not willing to split that pie, and I think everyone believed that that wasn't going to be enough for Oregon and Washington to leave and kill the Pac-12. And that's where I think it's naive, because I think Oregon and Washington both were willing to take whatever was coming their way to get the hell out and end up on one of the big ships.
Oregon and Washington wanted a seat at the table.
Yes.
And they understood if we are on the outside looking in, we're in big trouble. Yes. I think the other thing, and the thing I would want an answer to, is why in the world, when you're arguing that you're a big boy brand, you belong in the Power Four, why on earth would you join the WCC? Yeah. And I can tell you factually,
women's basketball,
that move was brutal for their athletes. Yeah. They had athletes who told me, when we joined the WCC, we talked about it.
It wasn't necessarily about NIL money. They were willing to step up to pay for their female athletes. It just up to be in the WCC.
Yeah, then who would want to play in the WCC?
What's the alternative? In a time when you're arguing you belong, I think you have to try to stay independent. You're negotiating right now for a TV deal. You're negotiating right now that, hey, we got left out and we shouldn't have actually been left out. So you want to look as big budget as you possibly can. Right? You're selling yourself.
Yeah.
And in the last few weeks, their women's basketball program got gutted. A bunch of their sports joined the WCC. They lost a he can say that they won the transfer portal in football. They lost DJ Uiagalelei, Aiden Childs, Damian Martinez, Akili Arnold, Easton Mascarenhas. They lost like their seven best players. Yeah. There's no argument that they won the portal. None.
So
I think that all of that says that they right now don't look particularly marketable. And I think you have to take some big swings to look more marketable. And maybe you have to overpay to keep your Damian Martinez, your Aiden Childs. Maybe you have to overpay right now. Now is the time to pay your women's basketball team and maybe overpay them in the NIL era to keep this thing together so you say, see, look at our football team. We're number 12 in the nation. See, look at our women's basketball team. We made a Final Four run. We belong at the table. Those things are not happening now. That football roster, they are not going to be a top 25 team. And that women's basketball team, barring a whole bunch of transfers coming in, is no longer even remotely going to sniff an Elite Eight or Final Four run. And again, they're trying to right now argue they belong having a seat at the table.
Well,
and
he's
all
saying,
they're doing is getting outbid for every good athlete they have.
Yeah.
Or their athletes are saying, I'd rather play in a big conference than WCC.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, but I think it's fair to say what he said, and that is this thing is shifting fast.
He's right.
And he's right. Hold on. Just hold on.
But you're right.
But that's a decent point. It's like, hey, keep the house together as best you can. They haven't necessarily done that, particularly with women's basketball. Now, the other area where he completely lost me is I don't like it when these guys talk about it's a higher education model. It's not a business model. I get what he's saying about that, but for God's sakes, get with the times, man. It's football is a business now.
Right.
Period. End
That's
of story.
It.
So grasping to the way it was, and this is a huge mistake, and dude, none of it matters. We all see where it's going. There are lawsuits all over the country that's going to flip this model on its head. So I don't understand why guys like him continue to hold on to that.
Right.
It's just short-sighted. It doesn't do you any good. Get your school up to be ahead of this. Not like, oh, we want it the way it used to be. It's not. It's never going to be that
way. It's not coming back.
So that drives me crazy.
There are teams right now. I know this. This is true in the recruiting world. They have a budget, a salary cap of sorts.
Well, A&M's
for their current roster.
Yeah.
And for their recruiting class.
Yeah.
A&M
just laid some people off. Texas A&M, which is one of the largest athletic departments in the country, basically saying the coming model, aka having to pay everybody, we're having to make budget cuts now to prepare a war chest for the future. And that's Texas A&M.
And that's so that every year in, year out, we have X amount of million for our current roster and X amount of million for our recruiting class.
Yeah.
Every year. And teams are preparing for that. And if you're going, we're kind of looking at a higher education, get on the side of big business here. The one thing I will say, though, and I seem like I'm just the absolute pessimist with Scott Barnes here. I agree with a lot of what he had to say. And I think he did a really nice job in that interview. Now, he can kind of put lipstick on a pig when it comes to some of the ways that they're spending it or whatever. But I thought he was about as honest as an AD is going to be.
Agree.
And he deserves a lot of credit in a really difficult time for coming on and talking about it.
I do agree with everything you just said right there about Barnes. I don't quite still have a grasp on if he should still have a job, right? Like, they made a lot of missteps. And I wonder how much of Oregon State and Washington State being where they are is their specific lack of foresight.
Or were they in such a bad... And that's kind of what I asked was...
Yeah, but
how much of that could you have prevented? Or was this... The moment UCLA and USC bailed, was the writing on the wall and then... It was,
but he
it
was, unfortunately. But then where do they go? Like, here's the thing. This is the part where I do feel sympathy for him. I do think they hung on in part because that was their only chance. Like, do they really believe the Pac-10 was gonna stay together the day that it was announced
you
that everybody
they
was leaving?
You don't think they could have bolted to the Big 12 in place of like who the Big 12 had?
No.
SMU or did they add SMU?
No, SMU's in the ACC.
Who are the four new schools in the Big 12?
Arizona State, Colorado, Utah.
No, before
Cincinnati,
that.
Houston,
Cincinnati,
BYU,
yeah,
and
right there. You don't think they could have jumped in there?
No. look at the Houston media market.
Yeah.
Houston's basketball program's good, and their football program's on the rise.
Yeah. Cincinnati, Houston, BYU.
Cincinnati's a big city.
And Central
Florida, BYU is,
I think,
the entire Mormon population. So,
all
bigger cities.
So so you don't believe that they even had an option. They just had to sort of stick with keeping the Pac-12 together.
I think they believed what they wanted to they heard and believed what they heard, because the alternative.
See, that's a mistake.
It is a mistake, but what's the alternative? Like, so, okay, that was bad. Okay, what if you were the really aggressive AD president of Oregon State? What could you have done?
Yeah,
you couldn't.
Well, like
have
I
got,
said, I thought maybe they could jump.
You couldn't have got a seat at the table in the Big Ten.
I guess the idea is that if you feel like you're aggressive, you probably think that you're slitting your own throat.
Right.
Chances are.
Right.
Maybe I get real aggressive, but more than likely, I slit my own throat. And so you do a calculated risk. And I think this maybe is where I fall with what Oregon State and Washington State did. They knew this was a tough uphill putt for them. And their best chance of survival was crossing their fingers and hoping that they could keep the Pac-12 together.
Absolutely.
And depending on who you believe, they came close. I don't think it was as close as they think it was, but I also don't think it was an absolute foregone conclusion.
It was pretty dang close to a foregone conclusion.
But
I've talked about this in recruiting circles and with coaches for years now. I've talked about this on the air with both you guys before, that we were headed for an NFL model with an NFC and AFC that was the Big Ten and SEC. I said that like 4 years ago, because that's what all those guys knew. Now, they thought maybe it's just for football. Maybe football will kind of be its own machine, or it was going to be all athletics. But we talked about this 4 years ago, and Oregon and Washington, people could say whatever they want. Those guys knew they were leaving for the Big Ten weeks before it was announced.
Right.
Weeks before it was announced. And so to be caught off guard that day, like, wait, what? This deal didn't get signed? How many times? It's like Portland baseball. We always are like, oh, a new stadium. We're going to have pro baseball. And you guys both, and rightly so, are like, call me when there's like uniforms printed up and there's a real team. Because it's often.
No one buys it.
No one buys it. How many different times did we talk about a TV rights deal for the Pac-12 is coming down the pipeline and it's going to be $30 million a school? And I mean, I listen to your guys' show all the time. You both were like, if it wasn't done 6 months ago, why would it be done now for way more money? It wasn't going to happen. And people just kept believing that big TV rights deal is a coming, and it
well, there's another mistake, you know? But you're right. It's like, okay, then what's the alternative?
Here's what they should have done. Let's go back real quick, just a few years. What they should have done is when Oklahoma and Texas wanted to join the Pac-12 and the Texas wanted their own Longhorn network and to be independent, they should have accepted it.
Yes.
Because that would have given them more flagship schools. That's where Oregon State messed up, is not being willing to
take
that.
And that's Larry Scott.
But yeah, that's right. That's all the way back.
I mean, that's
way back.
Back.
But you're right. That's some
but
of that started
the
then.
Yep. That's the move.
All right. We will get back to the draft coming up here in about 20 minutes. But in the news is coming up next. Here's Buck. All right. If you're tuning in for NFL draft coverage, it is coming up shortly. They still are not picking, so.
No.
They're just doing, apparently, like some sort of fashion show now.
Yeah, we got to walk out and stunt. Rumor has it that Eminem is going to kick this son of a gun off.
As he should. Anything Detroit, I want him.
Yeah. Well, they say the NFL, I guess, has been teasing. They have a big surprise to kick these things off, and so everyone's like, yeah, it's Eminem.
When he comes
either
out.
That or Ted Nugent.
When he comes out, we're going to have to talk about his dyed beard and dyed hair. It's just. It's frustrating because I like him.
It's hard to grow old as a rapper.
I guess so. All right, it is April 25, 2024. It is time for In the News. I'm your noted and humble newsman.
Are you trying to claim carbon neutral again? I was like, you son of a bitch.
No, I've jumped off that.
Your gas guzzler that you're out there driving around.
All right, today is National Plumbers Day, so shout out to all you plumbers.
Well, you may not like plumbers, but wait until you need one.
And it is Love Your Thighs Day.
Oh.
Which kind of goes hand in hand with the draft, like oily hips. You know?
Yeah. You like your thighs?
I do. I don't like them. I love them.
Dare wear short shorts?
I love them.
You don't really wear the short shorts, though.
No, I don't.
No.
You don't need to see that. But I love them.
That's something that you keep for just you and the missus.
My lady sees them.
I understand.
She loves my thighs. Mm. Big hot hatchery news here.
Ooh, love hatchery news.
A man is accused of pouring bleach into an Oregon hatchery tank.
Oh, that's no good.
Killing 20,000 young salmon.
Good grief. Why?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Seems like a kind of an a-hole move.
This is at the Gardner Reedsport and Winchester Bay Salmon Trout Enhancement Program Hatchery.
I like to go there on the weekends just to kind of have a, moment. To
tighten that name up.
Yeah, maybe an acronym. I don't know. Can we come up with something?
GRWBSTEP Hatchery.
Boy, that's way better.
You know what? We'll work on it. We'll work on it.
He broke in by destroying several door locks and then dumped a gallon of bleach into one of the rearing tanks, killing about 20,000 smolt Chinook salmon. Mm. They caught him, and it's kind of a weird deal. Apparently, he was wasted.
Oh, what?
I know. But he says he doesn't remember dumping the bleach in there, but he admitted to breaking in. So, and I guess when they were interviewing him, he threw up and like,
oh boy,
he was having a day.
So he's doing that. Yeah, you got me on the break and entering, but the bleach thing. What is the what's the punishment for murdering 20,000 fishes?
I tell you what, you do that in Alabama. I don't know how much they care.
Somebody do that with a tree in Alabama. Remember Toomer's Corner?
That's right. Mm-hmm. You do that in Oregon?
Yeah, we can't.
They're coming after you, man.
Do we come after anyone in Oregon, though?
Do not mess with the Salmons.
I hope so.
Do not mess with the Salmons.
What a D.
I know.
Murdering little fish with bleach.
Yeah, he admitted to trespassing and handling the chemical bottle. He was arrested, booked into Douglas County Jail. Second-degree burglary, criminal trespass, and criminal mischief.
I love that he's like, yeah, I had the bleach. Yeah, I broke in, but boy, I don't remember killing those fish. It was probably someone else.
22-year-old guy. His name's Joshua Alexander Heckathorn, and they caught it. He was still in there when the police got there. He's just running around.
But he's
there.
Still not certain it was him.
He's like, I don't think I did that.
Well, he was wasted, right? He probably couldn't find the exit.
Right.
But again, I have said this a million times. As someone that likes to tie one on from time to time, I cannot fathom how drunk you have to get.
Well, I don't know about that. It's probably more than drinking.
But, okay.
Well, you know?
I
think we could get you high enough.
Really? To break in and
well, I don't know about
murder
that.
Fish?
But I think we could get you high enough to where you're going to do something you probably don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Or aren't proud of. Or both.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
And maybe
of
it will involve breaking in.
I hope so. Maybe not killing things, though.
That's not Eminem.
No. This Who's is that a, they're just doing.
Oh,
the
we have to play the national.
Yeah,
anthem.
We have to do the national anthem.
American. Unless you want Marshall Mathers doing the Star Spangled Banner,
I wouldn't mind it. I like.
How
him.
Would that go? Do you think?
I don't know.
I was at the Timbers game a couple weeks ago, and they brought out the Unipiper, the Darth Vader Unipiper guy.
I read about that.
Boy,
he bombed.
Yeah, so he rode the unicycle in the full Darth Vader mask, his whole outfit, and played the trumpet. Yeah. Oh. My God.
It's a whole thing. I guess they're giving him another chance.
They need to, because it was...
Or they don't need to,
well,
if it was that bad.
Well.
Collectively, we as a crowd, no one knew what to do.
Did you cheer at least?
Well, it got so bad that people like started singing along, trying to drown it out, right. But then you couldn't really sing along because he wasn't keeping time.
Yeah. It was bad.
It was bad.
I read about it. You guys were all your you found your inner Maurice Cheeks.
Yes,
and that for you that should be because you know the worst thing that could happen is people start booing in.
Well, and that was it. The guy next to me turned because we were all looking around. The guy next to me turns and is like, "Hey, can we boo?" And I was like, "It's the national anthem.
Come on, support the guy."
It's like I don't think we can boo. It was rough. It was rough.
Well, he's getting another crack at it.
Well, let's hope it goes better.
Homelessness news is next on the Fan. All right, well, we're out of time for In the News getting squeezed today by the draft. Scott Barnes, stupid Nemec. He and I are arguing over Tarleton State being in the NCAA tournament.
What?
I could have sworn Tarleton State was
he
in the tournament.
He said Tarleton State was in the NCAA tournament this year, and I was like, they specifically were not. Like, absolutely, definitely no. And he's like, look it up.
I was sure of it.
Look it up.
And but so it we, was who I was did. Getting them confused with Grand Canyon.
Did you have my tape measurer moment there? Like, oh, no.
Well, they are both purple and white.
Very common.
That's as much as they're like.
And I think maybe there was one point in the season where I bet on a Tarleton State game.
You need help then. Yeah. Like, really? It got
it's possible.
That, you got down bad?
Well,
and
they
it
were,
was like, I need to bet these
they
Tarleton
were awesome.
State.
No, I was up big and I need to bet Tarleton. I mean, what's it?
Yeah, it could be either
what's
way.
What's the difference?
You're right.
They were great this
what,
year.
What's their mascot?
CBI? Did they win the CBI?
They lost the CIT.
CIT.
in the semifinals.
They're the Texans, by the way.
Texans?
The what?
The Tarleton State Texans.
They have a defensive end who's transferring. He had 7 sacks last year. He's visiting Oregon State this weekend. That's what...
killing the portal, man.
I believe their mascot is the Texan Rider, which is specifically a horse with its rider.
What? Well, it says right here, Texans, but they're the Texan Riders?
I'm seeing, and all their logos have a rider on a horse in front of the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
The Texan Rider.
Well, look, we're out of time, okay?
They play in the United. Who knew there was a United Athletic Conference?
Wait, they played Grand Canyon. So they're in the same league as Grand Canyon? Grand Canyon was in the tournament.
Oh, are they? Is yeah, Grand they Canyon in the United Athletic Conference?
Yeah. See, I'm feeling a little bit better about this now.
Are you?
Well, yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, I just
you
got
were like,
my purple and white.
They were in the tournament, Nimick. Look it up.
Well,
you
Grand
so
Canyon
sure.
was in the tournament. Same thing.
And they're
from the same league.
You were supposed to do a read, and you're like, tell me they were in the tournament. Say it.
I don't
it.
Think
they're
in the same league, man.
Well, they played them twice.
Well,
why would they
here,
play them twice?
They're not. The Abilene Christian, Austin Peay, Central Arkansas, Eastern Kentucky, North Alabama, Southern Utah, Stephen F. Austin, and Tarleton State.
Hmm. That's a bigger conference than I thought, though. I've heard of most of those schools.
Yeah, see, I told you.
Yeah, no, you were right. Never mind. I stand corrected.
Famous Navy SEAL sniper Chris Kyle went there.
Wow. Went to,
really? Went to Tarleton,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, everyone's got to have one, right? Mm-hmm. One famous alumni. Oh, I forgot Utah. Don't forget the mighty Utah Tech. Whatever the hell they are, they're in that conference, too.
Also, Hal Mummy went there.
Oh, really?
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Hal Mummy is?
One of the innovators of the forward pass.
He was so young. He was Mike Leach's mentor.
Was he really?
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky. I should know that.
All right. We have time for no more news. So in the news gets squeezed. we got to get to the Hot 5 and then the draft about to begin. We'll get the picks live as they happen here on 1080 The Fan.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.